Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're presented by Matt Mertz Plumbing. We welcome in from CBS College Football, our friend on the Fan Hotline, brought to you by Armstrong Business Solutions, Aaron Taylor. Aaron, good morning. Great to talk to you again in Pittsburgh here. How's everything?
What's up, boys? Good, man. I'm right up the road in New York heading to the airport to fly back to the left coast. It's early. You guys must get me on here early, man. It's a good thing they got a lot of coffee here in the city.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. We know you're an early riser. We know you're a guy that likes to get up. And if you're on the West Coast, you're still up. So there's that. You could just stay up late.
There you go.
So it could be one of those two. We've been consuming a lot of college football, ton of college football. We love our Saturdays. That being said, though, I know Georgia's there, LSU's there, Oklahoma's there. Are we invariably headed toward Clemson and Alabama again?
Well, it looked like that to start the season, but I got to tell you, Oklahoma's looking pretty dang good. I think Ohio State, with Justin Fields, the transfer from Georgia, ironically, is also playing really good football. When I look at Alabama, what I see is a lot of young freshmen, six starters, true freshmen on that defensive side of the ball. So they're young. They lost their entire coaching staff, and they played well offensively, but they've been a little quiet, a little bit muted. I think the same is true for Clemson, this ACC foe, the behemoth, the top of the pyramid. Their quarterback has looked a little bit pedestrian. So I think there's some questions with the teams at the top, and this may be a year that we finally see Alabama toppled if this Georgia team is for real as we think.
If it's not one of those two, Aaron, is the next team in line to be decided maybe Saturday night in Athens when your guys, the Irish, get together with the Bulldogs?
Well, that's going to be an interesting one, man, and I hate to say it, but I think Georgia's going to roll in that game 10, 12 points. Notre Dame, they haven't looked very good early on. We saw that game against Louisville where they struggled offensively. Ian Book, who led the country largely last year in completion percentage, struggled mightily to deliver the football. They looked quite a bit better against New Mexico. But the thing that's concerning to me is the defensive side of the ball for the Irish. They're young up through the middle. They got good DNs. They're deep there. But the defensive tackles and the linebackers are still something they're trying to sort out. So when you consider the fact that Georgia's got arguably one of the best offensive lines and most physical offensive lines in the country with a running back group that's led by DeAndre Swift, that could be a problem for the Irish on that side of the football. So it's interesting to say. I think if I had to put my money on somebody else besides Clemson and Alabama, Georgia, as close as they've been these last 2 years, certainly would be that pick.
You can text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Here's the question I'm going to ask you where you say yes, and you make all kinds of people in Pittsburgh happy. Are you ready for it? Is it time for Notre Dame's offense to go to Phil Dracovic, the Pittsburgh product, as the backup right now and make him the starter? Is he going to be good enough in time at Notre Dame?
Man, I know this is probably going to burn some of the fries on top of your salads, but I think they need to stick with Ian Book for the time being, man. Dracovic has a bright, bright future. Ian Book has proven himself on the big stage. He hasn't started out as strongly as we'd like, so it's a little bit of an interesting situation now that it's his job and maybe the target's on his back a little bit. We all know Dracovic and how productive and talented he is. He'll get his time. I think it's a great situation for him to come in and sit and learn from Ian Book, who doesn't have the strongest arm, so he's got to win football games with his mind. He's got to beat defenses by being able to dissect them and throw the football accurately on time. He pays in Pittsburgh. We're going to see a lot of Phil Dracovic over the years, but I don't think it's going to be in 2019.
Let me follow something else up, a Pittsburgh-centric question. Pitt plays UCF this week. How do the big boys really look at UCF? How does Clemson, how does Alabama, how does Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Notre Dame, how do those teams look at UCF? Do they look down their nose at them, or do they respect a program at UCF right now?
I think the teams that don't play them are largely ignorant to them. The teams that play them go, oh, damn, this is a good football team. That's what I did when I put the tape on for the first time, and I called their game, a couple of their games early on to start this year. I'll say this, boys, as it stands right now, UCF is a top 10 football team. They're the best team in the state of Florida and would likely be the second best team in the ACC. They are legit. Even though they've got a true freshman quarterback in Dylan Gabriel, he is spinning the football. Gabriel, a lot of fans might not know, broke all of Mackenzie Milton and Tua Tagovailoa's Hawaii State records when he was in high school. He's throwing to a wide receiver group that is one of the fastest, most explosive in the country. And the running back group, any one of those guys can take it to the house. Otis Anderson, Greg McCray, those guys are beefy back there. The offensive line pushes people around. I think that Pitts fans would be able to appreciate what they do on the offensive line. Glenn Ellerbee's their offensive line coach. And on the defensive side of the ball, Randy Shannon, a name that a lot of ACC fans will be familiar with all his ties to the state of Florida. Those guys are flying around and they're an extremely deep group of defensive backs on that back end. So to me, UCF is for real. I'd love to see them get an opportunity to play other teams on the big stage like we've seen Boise do over the years and TCU do over the years and Utah do over the years. They're all as good as those guys were, if not more so. So it'd be interesting to see if they get that chance. We almost just got in an accident, so I'm pretty proud of myself the way that I just said that last sentence because I almost died.
You played it off really well, Aaron. Everything okay?
Yeah, it was the guy that was trying to change lanes and was getting a little greedy on our side, trying to nudge us over, but my driver here did a nice job.
Nice. Well, Pat Narduzzi may not have been greedy enough on Saturday. Let's rewind to the Penn State game, if we may. Four cracks at the end zone from the goal line to tie the game up. He decides to kick the field goal on fourth down, and it clanks off the upright, and they end up losing by seven. Your thoughts on the decision to kick the field goal from the two-yard line rather than try to punch it in and tie the game up with just a few minutes left?
Well, I understand the decision because the offensive line struggled to get pushed, fellas. Only 24 total yards, man. That's not what we come to expect from Pitt football. But situationally, you got to find a way to punch that ball in. You need a touchdown, and the math that went there down at the end was a little questionable, and I know that that's been discussed ad nauseum. To win it all, you got to risk it all, and I thought that Pitt was a little conservative there, and I think if you ask Narduzzi at the end of the year if he would do it over again, he might admit or say or at least consider being a little bit more aggressive there. That was a great old-fashioned style football game. I thought Kenny Pickett threw the ball very well. Mark Whipple and him are starting to understand themselves a little bit. Taysir Smith stepped up and had a huge game. French had a huge game except for the drop there on third down. That was unfortunate. Pitt's not good enough to, I think, do that. They've got to be aggressive in those situations at this point in the season. So, yeah, it was a little disappointing to try to kick the field goal. I'm an old offensive lineman, man. It's fourth and 20. I want to run trap inside, so I'm probably the wrong guy to ask. But in that situation, I think it's one that warrants going for it. And then if you do, you know, put it on the line, put it on the offensive line up front, and it wasn't a good decision.
All right, here's a question that bleeds from the college game into the pro game as we talk to Aaron Taylor, CBS College Football. When you saw Mason Rudolph in Stillwater and you saw what he was doing at Oklahoma State, was he a product of the offense? Was he a Big 12 quarterback, as everybody likes to say? Or is he a guy that can play in the NFL and play well in the NFL?
Well, we're going to see, right? I mean, the we've seen some guys translate. It was interesting. When the hurry-up, no-huddle spread first came into college, people were like, oh, this is a gimmick. You know, the windows are smaller in college. The defensive backs are better. This is never going to translate. Then all of a sudden we started seeing guys leave from this system that are doing well. We've seen the Baker Mayfields as of late. We've seen guys that have transitioned into this system. It gives you an opportunity to be successful because you throw the football a lot. But at the end of the day, it's not about the system in the NFL. It's about throwing the ball accurately on time and with anticipation. And if Rudolph can transition those skill sets that he showed beautifully at Oklahoma State, he'll have some success in the NFL. But it's not necessarily guaranteed that that's going to be the case. We all question whether or not Jared Goff would be able to come into the NFL and be successful coming out of that system he came from Cal, and that's worked out pretty well. So I think, given what I know about him, it is possible, but the fact that he wasn't a starter before now indicates that his ceiling may be a little limited.
Let's marry two different lines of discussion we've had here, Aaron, both the discussion about quarterbacks and quarterback play, and then also the discussion of the ACC. We've talked about that with you before and how it's kind of Clemson and then everybody else. Does it come down to just quarterback play? You mentioned Trevor Lawrence looking somewhat human the first couple of weeks. If you look for that second best team in the ACC right now, is it as simple as looking at quarterback play and looking at Bryce Perkins in Virginia as maybe that next guy?
No, I think Virginia's as good as they are. Bryce Perkins helps them, but it's really the Cavaliers' defense that I think has them being considered the team's, the ACC's second best team. I've been really impressed with what Bronco Mendenhall has done. And, you know, he kind of poo-pooed his talent that he had. And I probably only got, you know, 20 FBS guys on my roster from head to toe. They've become a good football team, and they got in a little bit of a close game a week ago. But when you take a look at them, having a good quarterback that can win for you, but Bryce Perkins isn't a light-up style quarterback. Body that's electrifying and can make plays and can extend, but it's not like he's throwing the football around for 400 yards a game or rushing for 150, 200 a game. He's a good, serviceable quarterback. To win in football, you need a good defense. Virginia has that, which is why I think they've got a very good shot to win the Coastal this year.
Last thing for you, could you have played for Mike Leach, and how much fun would it have been, or would you have been like, this guy's crazy? Or maybe a little of both?
Well, I'm telling you what, it would have been fun. I played for Lou Holtz, so it's like literally on the other end of that spectrum, and half the time I'm wondering if old Jimmy Buffett is been experienced a little bit before he goes on to his press conferences. What Leach is masterful at is talking about anything but football. And he's done a beautiful job to take the distraction away from his team and give us all things to talk about and to be excited about. I love having fun. I think looking back on my own career, I wish I would have had more fun while I was playing. It was kind of do or die for me. And if you won, good. If you didn't, you were miserable until you did. Mike Leach seems to change that. His players really enjoy playing for him. I think he's a hell of a coach, and he's great for us as analysts because he always gives us something to talk about.
Aaron, so great. Always prepared, always so knowledgeable. We cover a bunch of different land with you, and we appreciate it. We will talk again soon. Enjoy the games this weekend, and we'll chat soon.
I look forward to it, boys. Thank you.
Yep, all safe
right.
travels, Aaron.
Aaron Taylor, CBS College Football. No one as prepared as him. I mean
he's
that.
Great.
Every question you ask him, bang, he's ready to go. Thank you to him for joining us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.